Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
So, as families and friends gather for Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow, many will have old traditions. Some may have a new one, thanks to David Isay. You no doubt know David's StoryCorps project, mobile booths that travel the country and record Americans playing their stories back on NPR's Morning Edition. And David doesn't want you to wait for the booth. He's declared the day after Thanksgiving the National Day of Listening for people to sit down and record their own stories. StoryCorps is celebrating its 10th anniversary, 50,000 interviews, 80,000 people taking part. David Isay's new book is Ties That Bind, Stories of Love and Gratitude from the First 10 Years of StoryCorps. And it is a privilege and a Thanksgiving tradition to check in with him. He joins us from the NPR studios in New York. David, welcome.
Hi, Robin. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. And all these interviews archived at the Library of Congress. PBS airs some of the stories with cartoon animations. When you started this in that booth at Grand Central Station in New York 10 years ago, did you imagine?
Well, when we launched StoryCorps, I actually thought of it as a 10-year project, and I thought we'd be lucky to get to 10 years. So we should be, according to the original plan, we should be kind of sweeping up the sawdust now or whatever it is where the booth was left. But about a year into this, you know, very simple idea, as you said, it's two people in a booth having a conversation with the help of a trained facilitator. And in doing so, I think reminding the person who's being listened to that their life is important and that they won't be forgotten. They matter. Right. About a year into this thing, I began to see like the power of this idea, and I decided – I used to make radio documentaries for public radio, and I decided to retire from doing that and devote the rest of my life to hopefully building StoryCorps into a sustaining national institution that reminds us all of – you know, the values that are inherent in public radio and what you do and what we do, the importance of listening and recognizing that, you know, every life, every story matters.
Well, may you and the project live long because
Thank
it's
you.
Terrific. And you and I just sat down in this area with some listeners here as you barnstormed the country with your book. And some of the people
yes.
in the book meet you at these different stops. And David, what's fascinating is, you know, if you think the stories are great, and they are, when first told on StoryCorps,
yeah.
they get even better. I want to give an example. We met a National Guardsman, Captain Zachariah Fike from Vermont. He came to the stop here. He served in Afghanistan, won a Purple Heart. Then his mom gave him another Purple Heart she found in an antique store. He decided to return it to the rightful owner, which turned out to be Adeline Ratko. She's the sister of Corrado Piccolo, an army translator killed in Europe in World War II. Zach returned the medal to her. Here's just a little of their StoryCorps conversation.
That night when you brought the medal down from your bedroom and I saw it was in the very same box that I had last seen it in, I knew it was in good hands. And then you brought down your Purple Heart medal.
Yep, I was wounded in Afghanistan.
And we got to know each other pretty well.
We together have talked about planning a trip to Italy and maybe walk some of the ground that your brother would have walked during the war.
I would like to make that trip, really.
Well, David, I say they're family now. And not only that, we found out that Zachariah started an entire organization since that conversation to return Purple Hearts to rightful owners.
Right. After the NPR broadcast, he got, I don't know what it is, dozens and dozens. I think it's maybe 100 now of these Purple Hearts. And I think he was, you know, when we met him, and like you said, I mean, one of the great things about being on tour with a book is you meet the folks in the book and whose radio broadcasts you've heard. And what lets me know that the production team and the folks who work on the books are on the right track is that the people are as amazing as they seem in the book or on the radio piece, but even better. And Zach is a prime example of that. He has a little kid, little baby at home, probably now 8 weeks or 9 weeks old, and he takes all of his free time. He's full-time military, but on weekends and evenings, his wife is okay with him traveling around the country, sleeping in cars, returning these medals to families.
Yeah.
And all of them, like this woman, Adeline, became kind of a second mom to Zach. And now, as he said to us, he has whatever it is, 75 moms, you know, who are yeah. all knitting. He's got a pile of knitted clothes for his kid that's taller than he is, and
that's
he's a tall guy.
So we find out that the StoryCorps stories beget more stories. I tell you what, we're going to take a break. When we come back, one of the most powerful, I think, stories was about the brother who was kicked out of his family home because he had a staunch Christian father who would not accept the fact that he was gay. And this brother ended up reuniting all of the siblings in his family. It's just an extraordinary story. We're going to talk to those two of those brothers after the break. But meanwhile, listeners, what was your favorite story? How about the mother and daughter who served together in combat? That one was an incredible one. Your favorite StoryCorps story, or if you were in one, do you have a postscript that listeners might want to know about? What happened after StoryCorps aired? We'll be back with David Isay as he celebrates 10 years of StoryCorps in 1 minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
And we're catching up with David Isay, founder of StoryCorps, author of Ties That Bind, Stories of Love and Gratitude from the First 10 Years of StoryCorps. StoryCorps is celebrating its anniversary. And before we get back to David, let's bring in two of the storytellers we met through StoryCorps. They are brothers. Brian Wilmoth joins us first. Brian, you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. And we have, well, sort of, it's afternoonish here. And we have your younger brother, Michael. Michael, you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
And Brian, let's start with you there out in California. You told Michael a story that started when you were a teenager and your father kicked you out of the house because he discovered something in your room that let him know you were gay. What a horror this story was. He just drove you and dropped you off?
Well, he took me out to, there was a priest that he knew that lived out in near the Russian River, and he took me out with a $5 bill in a sleeping bag and put me out there and said, go see this priest tomorrow. And that was how I left the house, yeah.
Yeah, slept outside. And could you give us some context as much as you'd want? Why?
Well, you know, he had found a love letter in a box of things that I'd had. And you know, my dad wanted to know everything about us. He was a very controlling man. And he found this love letter, and it was the first love letter I'd ever received. And it was one of those things where I, for the first time, really remember feeling at a visceral level, somebody loved me. Mm-hmm. And it was outside of the family,
yeah.
You know, and it was a wonderful experience. And when he found it, I knew I would probably get in trouble, but I didn't realize to the extent of which, He had his own visceral reaction to it, yeah. and just didn't want it around his family.
Well, all six of your siblings, Brian, including Michael, either ran away or were kicked out of the home. Sounds like a lot of, you know, some trouble there over the years. And Michael, were you told, have I got this right, when you were growing up after Brian was kicked out, that your dad was afraid that you would all catch gay, so you weren't allowed to, you know, contact Brian?
You know, I was actually the first one to leave home, so I wasn't there when Brian left. I left before Brian did.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was about 13 and a half or 14 when I left, and Brian left, like, almost immediately. Like, I kind of missed that part of it, because I left earliest.
Yeah. But Brian, tell me about that. I want to catch back up with Michael. But, you know, this idea that you were cut off from the remaining siblings at home because your dad didn't want you to have contact with them.
Right. He was afraid that me being gay would have some sort of cultural influence on them. That, you know, he was a very religious man, still is a very religious man. And I think that his religion base was fear.
Yeah.
And he was afraid that his children weren't going to turn out the way he wanted. I got to tell you, my dad had a vision for each of his eight children, you know, and when he began to see that crumble, I think he began to panic.
Well, so Michael, through StoryCorps, you and Brian, and I'm hearing now that you didn't know some things that had gone on in the house because you were gone, and you got to catch up by talking about this in StoryCorps and hearing his story and probably telling yours for the first time. What was that like?
Well, we connected, and Brian's a very diligent person. When he gets something and he wants to do something, he does it. And so he really kind of forced me back into his life. And when the StoryCorps opportunity came up, it was just a great way for us to kind of sit down and take a deep breath and let everything out.
Yeah.
And so it was amazing. I mean, I did learn a lot just by us sitting there for that amount of time, but. You know, Brian's he's very open, and I understood to our relationship. There was so much happened to him that, it's just an amazing story. It really is.
Yeah, and Brian, part of it is that you, the youngest sibling, Luke Henry, you actually got to help him. He also became estranged from his parents. You actually helped him move into college, got to see him tell you he loved you. Really extraordinary. And I just want to play a little bit of your conversation, Brian, with Michael, where, you know, Michael is giving you, I think, your due in this family. Let's listen.
You brought 8 siblings that were so far apart to be as close as we all became.
I just want you to know how much it means to me that you've loved me like this. And for that, I will be forever grateful. It is what I built the foundation of the rest of my life on.
And at that point on Morning Edition, I was a mess. What have you guys heard since? What's happened since StoryCorps?
Well, you know, I have to tell you, first of all, that every time I hear that, I tear up as well. Yeah. And one of the things that has happened since StoryCorps for me is, you know, I really loved reading the comments afterwards. And I know that there were a lot of people that were concerned about our parents and our relationship with our parents. And for me, my parents have just lived their own lives, and we don't have any animosity towards them, you know. But for StoryCorps, what it really has brought out is what other people begin to want to tell us about their story. So we get to listen to other people's stories after they've heard ours. Mm. And it's opened me up to certainly listen to other people around me all the time. And the StoryCorps for me was a huge gift in that area.
And Michael, how about you? Do you worry about your parents and hearing this, and or is the reunion of your siblings and the strength that you guys have, was, you know?
Oh no, I think it'd be wonderful for my parents to hear it, because at the end of the day, a parent doesn't want to hear that they have successful children that love each other. You know, whatever their relationship was, I think they would say, you know what, thank God they made it. Thank God it worked out. Thank God, because they did pretty much leave us high and dry,
yeah,
to our own fate, so to speak. But, you know, no, I think if they heard, I think it'd be, you know, I would love for them to hear it, yeah, to be honest with you. I think it's a great story.
Well, again, it's Michael and Brian Wilmoth, and somewhere here is David Isay. We just sort of...
Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
And David, I'm just thinking, you know, you unleashed this.
I didn't unleash it. This is theirs.
Well, but I mean, you unleashed this opportunity.
But these are the stories that are just hidden in plain sight all around us, and they're the stories that matter. You know, I was the can I read a tiny bit from the book?
Sure, just a tiny bit. Yep.
Just a tiny bit. So this is, as you were as you said, Brian reconnected with his youngest brother Luke, and Luke asked him to take him to college, and he was going to a Christian college in Dallas, and in the story he says, I gave Luke a big hug and kiss and told him how much I loved him, and he started walking away. This is the first time they'd been together in their lives. He got way down to the bottom of the hill, and I was just watching after him like, wow, I finally got to be a big brother. And at that moment he turned around and mouthed, I love you. It was the most beautiful moment I'd ever experienced. It changed everything for me.
Yeah.
And these are, you know, these are the moments. They're everywhere.
And at that moment, Brian, you called Michael from the hotel, sobbing to tell him. And so this idea of stories just reverberating and ping-ponging around, just wonderful. David Isay, founder of StoryCorps, author of the book he was reading from, Ties That Bind, Stories of Love and Gratitude from the First 10 Years of StoryCorps. We've also been speaking with Brian Wilmoth and his younger brother, Michael. Their story is just lovely, and it is in the archives now, where all these stories are archived in Washington. Congratulations to you all, and David, thank you so much for, you know, as we said, getting it started. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
And a happy Thanksgiving to you all.
Thank you. Absolutely, you too.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Oxfam America, on the ground in the Philippines delivering emergency aid to survivors of the typhoon. Learn more at oxfamamerica.org. And Lumosity.com, with web-based brain games created by neuroscientists to improve memory and attention. Learn more at Lumosity.com.